Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone on today's PPSC PDP call on Thursday, the 3rd of February. We have Jeff Newman, Alex Gokuru, who will be joining us shortly again, Tatiana Kramtsova, James Blabel. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Marty Milam, Glenn de Saint-Géry, myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And apologies today noted from Wolf Ulrich Knoben. If I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes, and I'll let you know as soon as Alex is back with us. Thank you. Over to you, Jeff.
Okay, thank you. I'm just looking at the attendee list, and it's kind of small. We basically just have registries.
Maher has just joined, sorry.
Okay, thanks. Basically just registries, registrars, and one.
Thank you so much.
So I'm kind of at a loss here. I don't know how much progress we can actually make with... Hey, Alex, you're back on?
I'm back on, yes, Jeff. Thank you.
Okay. I'm not sure how much progress we could make with... you know, we don't have Avery, we don't have Alan, we don't have any of the commercial stakeholder group, including any of the BC or ISP or IP reps. A number of us were on a call earlier this morning or afternoon, depending where on the world, where in the world you are. So let me throw it out. We don't have much time, which is my concern, and we've made a promise to get this out. So I was initially going to start back up with the human rights issue, but since Avery's not on and it was really her, we'll delay that issue till the next time. And where we left off was on page, on the issues list, Marika, correct me if I'm wrong, page 21?
That's correct.
And it was on the voting threshold?
Yes, at the bottom.
So I'm going to say we push along till for an hour, see what progress we can make till 10:30 my time, local time. So why don't we push along because we have to get this done, and we'll see what progress we can make. And you know, it's up to others who missed the call to catch up.
Sorry to interrupt, Jeff. Avery will be joining us shortly. Thank you.
Okay, so maybe we'll come back to that one issue. So if we look at the voting threshold issue, well, this is one that was raised by Avery and Alan. Both are not on the call, but we could see their comment. So the question was, should the approved voting threshold apply to the entire genus of council or just members present? I thought we addressed this earlier. Marika, wasn't this the one where we talked about since with proxy voting and with notice of abstentions that there may not be a need to further refine this? And I think that's what Alan had said.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think that was my understanding as well, but the comments that Avery and Alan made seem to indicate that they do feel that there's a need to add something.
So we look at Alan's comments. The question is still applicable, but it must be rephrased as just members voting. Capable of voting does not mean that they do. Capable of voting, so I think we talked about this the last time, right, that if someone's on a call or if there's a proxy that's – or if there's – not a proxy, what's it called when there's time allowed after a vote for council members to vote, there's certain circumstances.
Absentee voting.
Right. Where that occurs, if someone doesn't vote, that's equivalent to an abstention, correct? I don't know if Gwen's on.
Glenn's coming online.
Sorry, Jeff, you wanted to ask me something?
Yeah, hey, Glenn. Thanks for joining us. I know we've been kind of busy today. If there's absentee voting, right, that's the right word, if someone still doesn't vote, does that count as an abstention or does that count as which basically is a no vote, or does that count as something else?
No, it's counted as just a vote that hasn't been voted. So, in fact, it counts as a no vote.
Right, because we don't reduce the number.
We don't reduce the quorum for that.
Right. Okay. So that being the case, and Alan's comment is just that was voting. I think the voting threshold question is answered by the current rules, unless anyone disagrees. All right, here, knowing disagreement, Alan's not on the call. We're going to take that as resolved at this point, unless he tells us next meeting that there's something we missed. All right, if we go to recommendation 20, the recommendation is that we recommend working with the working group work team to provide input on the working group guidelines section or annex that will be dedicated to a PDP working group, best practice for developing a charter. I think, and this is probably Aubrey's comment too, it's a bit late for the recommendation, right, since it's already now at the council level. So, Marika, how do we – the council has already taken the working group work team report, has already sent it out for public comment. So, Marika, you have the floor.
Yeah, this is Marika. There is actually a placeholder in that document for specific requirements for PDP working groups once this group completes its work. So I think at the time that happens, we probably need to see either this working group right set up, or I don't know exactly what the process would be for that, but in principle there is a placeholder there that indicates that there might be specific provisions that need to be included in the working group guidelines that will only apply to PDP working groups.
Okay, well, I thought on the last call or one of the previous calls we had said that at this point we think that the current working group work team rules should apply to PDP working groups. And so I don't think we made a distinction, but Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Some of the elements that might go in the working group guidelines is as well explain what are the required steps. Like once we've set the whole process out, the working group guidelines might also indicate for those working groups what are the required steps they need to take in order to fulfill the requirements of the PDP. I mean, it might just be as well a referral to, for example, the procedure manual. Maybe this working group says, well, we don't actually need to include any other provisions, but we just put in a provision that says for PDP working groups, please review the PDP procedure manual to see the requirements that apply to your specific group. It might be as simple as that, but I think we probably only be able to determine what is required once we've indeed finalized our work and see what is needed. But as I said, it might be just if we have all the information already available in the procedure manual, it might just mean including a link in the working group guidelines so people can go there and actually find all the information that applies to their specific working group.
I think that makes that seems to make sense. Does anyone disagree with that approach? Okay. Hearing none, maybe everyone's just exhausted or just everyone's in total agreement. So we'll move on. Recommendation number 21, how to involve advice from other ACs or SOs and obtain input from the board. The PDP work team recommends a further guidance on how to involve advisory committees or supporting organizations be included in the manual. That was our recommendation. Aubrey's comment is, given the GNSO Council resistance to working together with others, okay, this might need a more specific recommendation than just a placeholder. And then Alan says, agrees, I think we need a recommendation that any ACSO input must be sought and treated with the same due diligence as other comments and input processes. So, Aubrey, putting aside the first part of the comment, which is the resistance to working to others, the comment on needing a specific recommendation and Alan's comment on a recommendation that ACSO input must be sought and treated with the same due diligence as other comments and input processes. So if I could break that down and ask a question, although Alan's not here to explain it, but Aubrey's here. I'm assuming that what's not being argued is that they need a completely separate track for submission of public comments, but that when this goes out for public comment, obviously the SO or AC can submit their comments. But there's nothing preventing that from happening. That's a correct assumption?
This is Aubrey. I didn't get my hand up.
Did or didn't?
I didn't, I'm waiting in the queue.
Okay, well, you are in the queue, so go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I guess it's okay that they only be treated as if they were an individual comment. I actually think it would be better if there were a specific reaching out solicitation of comment and direct response. So I don't think that they should be treated. I think they should be treated more like as if they were almost like a constituency, that they should get a similar kind of treatment there, that when going out to constituencies, when going out to community, that basically there's a direct solicitation to make sure, to expect, okay, ALAC is pretty good at watching community, you know, postings and such. I don't think GAC is. I think that if you want their comments on something because of the way they are, you have to outreach specifically to them. I think, you know, if you want to get the Stability and Security Advisory Group to pay attention to something, I think it's good to have a specific outreach. So I would think that on a PDP, you know, there really needs to be a specific outreach to the other SO and to the AC just to make sure that they have paid attention, they know this is the time, and they've been notified, and that their stuff is taken in and given due accord, which sometimes may be, because in the other case, we sort of left it open that, well, you know, we really think you should respond and there should be something. But I think that the GNSO should actually have a, you know, and I've said this before in other places, should have a discussion with them so that, you know, you send them a response. And if there's a lack of understanding, there should be a conversation because their advice is valuable. And to get beyond the place where they say, oh, we only give our advice to the board because it's only the board that listens to us, is to say, no, we want to hear your advice and we want to talk about it. Thanks.
Yeah, I think your last point is something that I was gonna say, that I've talked to the GAC, some of the GAC representatives and on this subject, and their view is that they will not respond for the most part to any GNSO effort or comment period, because their role is not to provide advice to the council, but to provide it to the board. You know, for better or worse, I'm not saying I agree or disagree with that. I'm just saying what I've been told.
That's no reason to solicit from them.
Right. It's no reason not to notify them as to what's going on. You know, putting aside my chair of this working group hat for the moment, just to give a personal view, with the ALAC, you know, they certainly participate. Someone can fix that. They certainly participate in the process. ALAC certainly can have members on each working group, and in fact, they do. I'm not sure that we need to. Possibly notifying them is not a bad idea, but then again, we notify the world when we send these things out, and presumably the ALAC, that usually members of these working groups, presumably those members are going back to their own, to the at-large and explaining what's going on. So I'm not sure, I mean, I understand Alan's sensitivity to this, but... Well, I guess all Alan's saying is that they should be treated with the same diligence as other comments. I mean, I don't have any issue with that, but I don't think they should be given any kind of special treatment on it. So let me go to Marika and then James.
Yeah, this is Rick. I think to confirm what you earlier said, normally when we have announcements indeed on either working groups being created and volunteers being sought or public comment periods being opened, I do believe that those are sent out to all the relevant mailing lists, also including the, I think we have a liaison list where, you know, it goes out to all the different groups. So I think it is widespread. And also to Alan's comment, when comments are received on behalf of SOs and AACs, they're indeed considered in the same way as other public comments that are being submitted through through public comment forums. So I think in current practice, I mean, it's another question whether that needs to be specifically written up and explained that that's how it currently works. But I think in the current model, we do try as much as possible to have that kind of outreach, and especially in those areas where we, for example, see that, you know, there might be a certain security implication or a certain, I think, as well internally, we try to push that out through our respective contexts and saying, look, this is going on. You know, if you see that any of your community members have an interest, can you please encourage them and alert them to it? So I think we're doing that. I guess the question is, should it be more specific written out in either the recommendation or in the procedure manual?
Okay, let me go to James and then Aubrey.
Hi, Jeff. James speaking. Thank you. I wanted to just kind of add to what you were saying and my own view that everyone I've ever worked with on a PDP from another SO or AC has been very communicative, both within the working group and with their SO or AC. I think that the recommendation is good as written. Thanks.
Okay. Aubrey?
Yeah, I want to first support the notion of writing up what is practice now. We're in the process of building the PDP operating procedures, and, you know, it, insofar as it does work some of the time now, that's good. I think it should be codified, and I guess I put in a sort of, I guess it's minority at the moment of the three people talking, but that I do believe that there should make sure that there is special focus given on our brother and sister organizations within ICANN. It may not be materially different than just paying attention to it the same as everybody else in the community comments, but I think it would do a lot to help the GNSO and its relationship to other bodies within ICANN to show that it is codifying a specific interest in what they have to say in our PDP processes. So I think it would be a very good thing for the GNSO from a political perspective and a very good thing from the PDP perspective for full inclusion to codify what we do and perhaps just add a special emphasis for the comments of ACs and SOs than for just J random person. Thank you.
Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just thinking back of the working group guidelines, I think actually there it is being called out that, you know, when announcements are being made that they need to be sent out as widely as possible. And I think it talks as well about reaching out to other SOs and ACs. What might be a suggestion is actually to check back what is actually in there and maybe circulate that to the group to see if that covers sufficiently this outreach aspect of the PDP work, or whether indeed further guidance would need to be included in the procedure manual as well. I mean, it doesn't address Avery's question, because I don't think I think when it talks about comments, it basically talks about addressing them all in the same way. So that's another issue for the work team to consider.
Okay, so I mean, I don't see an issue with codifying some of the things that we do anyway, sending things out to the liaison list or whatever that list is called, the list that Glenn sends it out. I mean, I think it's good to codify that. I do want to hear what people's thoughts are on Avery's statement that comments that come from SOs or ACs should be I don't want to reword what you said, Aubrey.
Yeah.
You said to give special emphasis, or what was the word you
I guess what I'd say, to put it simply, is that, yeah, they should get special attention, which means that as opposed to just including the response somewhere in the appendix of a document, the working group actually writes its response to the AC. It's not doing different work other than saying, thank you for sending us your advice. Here is our response and how we've treated it. And, yes, that's included in the document like everything else, but also it shows due respect by giving them a direct answer as opposed to the other. And that's the kind of differentiation I'm making. I'm not saying you should give it more weight, but I'm saying you should treat it with direct accord, with direct respect. The one thing I wanted to mention in terms of Marika's point about the guidelines, saying the outreach, you know, should be the guideline stuff, remains just guidelines. So given that this is PDP more required operational procedure is why I'd recommend, even if it is in the guidelines, to emphasize it here. Thanks.
Let me go to Alex.
Yeah, Alex speaking. Thank you, Jeff. I think alongside what Avery has said is when the comments come from an individual on any public comment, then they are analyzed later on, and then they are given as a sort of community feedback, amalgamated and all put together and commented. So many were appearing to be in favor, etc., etc. When something comes out firmly that this came from a certain SO or AC, I think it makes particular SOs and ACs to feel like, yes, their input or their comments were taken with some sort of weight of what they are within the whole establishment. And so I think highlighting them and maybe making sure the comment received from X, SO, AC, I think that would go a long way also in strengthening this, the view or the position that, you know, they are being treated indeed as an entity per se, if you like, vis-a-vis my own comment that I'll just throw from wherever I am on one issue, and then that's it. Thank you.
So when you say special emphasis or, you know, the due respect, I'm assuming that we say the same thing for stakeholder group comments and constituency comments, because we don't really say anything about that either, right? So I'm concerned that if we say something about giving the advisory committees and supporting organizations due emphasis, I mean, I'm concerned that saying that without referring to the other stakeholder groups and constituencies seems a little tipping the balance a little bit too much in favor of the ALAC, or in the other advisory committees. So, James?
Yeah, Jeff, thanks. Maybe I'll just let this go. I'm concerned that when we start developing specific procedures for SOACs versus other components, stakeholder groups or constituencies within the GNSO versus individuals, that we're almost, you know, by design building in different classes or categories of response and input. And I just want to make sure that we are cognizant of that and we don't go down that path. Thanks.
Okay, Aubrey?
Yeah, first of all, stakeholder groups and constituencies, they have a vote. They are already in a special class. And I have actually no problem with saying, yes, constituencies and stakeholder groups get a vote. They are the top class of this all, you know. And then our SOs and SEs, as other organizations in ICANN, get a directed response, and everybody's comments are treated seriously, and comments are put in the document. So, I mean, I really don't see, we already have a class structure. We're already treating different people differently. I mean, stakeholder groups and constituencies are treated differently. They get to vote. That is special. And so on. But to say that between the special that is a stakeholder group and a constituency and the general public, we will actually directly respond to a group that took a position, took a consensus or voted on position to send us a statement as a group, and we will respond to it, you know, directly. And also, we will take all comments seriously, you know, responding to each one, you know, in the appendices of the documents. So I don't see that classfulness there is a bad thing. I think it's a good thing, and I think it's a respectful thing. Thanks.
So, all right. What if it said something to the effect of that, you know, Alan has in there, input must be sought and treated with the same, I would say something like input should be treated with the same, well, you know what, Rika, why don't you put Alan's kind of language in and then see how people feel about it. I don't want to reword it. I'd rather have others weigh in and when they see the language in front of them.
Okay. So just to clarify, Alan's language would then replace the recommendation.
No, let's go. So, yeah, because the recommendation was seek for further guidance.
Okay.
And the recommendation is really that, as Alan kind of said, that comments should be, you know, and as Aubrey pointed out, you might also want to talk about, you know, what we do, that announcement should, kind of repeating what the working group work team said in some respect, that, you know, they should be made aware of what's going on and that these comment periods are going on, and that to the extent they provide input, that input should be treated with the same diligence as other comments received, or some kind of language that kind of mirrors what Alan said.
Okay.
Okay, going on to number, it's got number 8 on it, but it says, what options should the GMSL Council have at its disposal to ensure that it can take an informed decision on whether to initiate a PDP or not, subject to time frames set forth in question 4 above? And then, of course, we recommend further guidance. And that's it. So, Paul and James put a comment saying, just delete this text, just delete the recommendation, because it's pretty much status quo. Alex?
I'm sorry, Jeff and Marika, to take you back a little bit. If Marika is, to the previous point, if Marika is taking what Alan said into our recommendation, what does that leave what Avery had commented and what she has just added on this call? Does what Alan said get just replace that and ignore the comment by Avery? I just want some clarification. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think it does. I think it should incorporate the comments from Avery that are. I think it was in line that they should be with diligence, that should be special, they should be given attention. I think that's what Alan meant with his comments. So I'm not sure which ones, if I've ignored one, which ones have I not taken into consideration? Right, that we should codify what we do currently, which is send out notices to all of the stakeholder groups, stakeholder groups, constituencies, advisory committees, supporting organizations. Those go out already. But we should codify that, which is one of the points Aubrey said. And then we should treat them with diligence.
I tell you what, I'll wait for the wording, and then maybe that's when it would be appropriate to comment, probably to just capture what I'm saying. Thank you. Let's go on. Thank you.
Okay. If I'm missing anything, just let me know. That's fine. Out of touch.
A quick comment. I just posted some wording with words in brackets that I think is what I'm suggesting that's different, that goes beyond what Alan said. And I already put it in brackets.
Well, they
and
should
full of typos.
So the bracket, it says, in addition, comments from ACs and SO should receive a direct response.
That was the piece I was recommending, the special treatment. That's what I was recommending.
So previously in this group, we said that, Marie can help refresh my recollection on this. I don't think we provide anyone with a, that we require ourselves, or we've said in this report that we're required to address the comments. We don't say direct response. So you're saying above and beyond what we do normally, they should have a, that the working group should have a direct response.
That's what I'm recommending, yeah.
And the direct response could be something like, thank you, we've got your comments, we believe we've taken them into consideration, read the report, or do they have to be each individual thing?
I would think it would be a little bit more substantive than that, but I suppose a pro forma, you know, polite letter might do if you want it to be, you know, if you want it to be taken badly.
Paul, let's see, Paul's raised a comment. Oh, okay, you raised your hand. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. And just wanted to vocalize. Avery, help me understand, how would the working group provide a direct response? Would it be sufficient to respond, say, on the comments list? So, you know, the working group receives the input, and then we could respond there?
I actually hadn't thought about that, but yeah. I think that's probably a good way to do it.
Okay, because I just have, you know, when I heard the word letter, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I mean, we're all so stressed
and I
a hard time finding time. I was concerned that it would be too formal, too complicated.
No, I actually think that could be a great way to do it.
What do you think about that, Paul?
Not 100% sure, Jeff. I need to think it through. I mean, I think I agree with David that making a requirement that this get done may not really be necessary. I think because there's often representation in the working groups by the people who submitted the comments, there's ample opportunity for a debate and a back and forth. And to me, it strikes as almost adding just a little bit too much bureaucracy.
So just to, David has posted on the chat, says, I do not favor this kind of special treatment for the ACs and SOs. So let me go to Marika and James.
Yeah, this is Marika, just to point out a practical issue, because we normally try to close the comment form relatively quickly after we've posted the summary and analysis. So, and normally a working group doesn't really start considering the comments until they've had the summary, and depending on their other workload, so it might be practically impossible to actually use that as a way to respond to the mailing list. And another comment would be, I don't think people would actually go back there once they've submitted their comments, so I'm not really sure how much value there would be in posting anything there. And also I do have a concern of the additional workload that adds to a working group having to formulate responses that are already also included in the common review tools that we're using. And personally, I was a question of it that, you know, isn't every comment, shouldn't that have the same kind of value? Shouldn't we then do that to every commenter and saying, well, really appreciate your response, and, you know, this was our view on it, or have the dialogue with every commenter? So, but that's just a personal point of view.
Okay, let me go to James, and then give Avery a chance to respond if she wants.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks. James speaking. I think Paul and Marika covered my points. I think that from a practical standpoint, I'm concerned that the public comment function needs to be streamlined and not layered on with extra steps. I think that the problem we're having or seeing now is fewer and fewer people are using it or meaningfully sending in comments when, you know, I think they could be commenting, and other folks are, you know, working groups and other groups are maybe not taking full account of comments when they get overloaded with them. And, of course, we've all seen the scripted comments. So anything that we can do to streamline that process, I support what Paul and Marika were saying about just keeping the bureaucracy flattened and thin. Thanks.
Okay. Aubrey, do you want to respond to
that? Yeah, I do. I guess I find myself in a minority again. I'm not horribly surprised. I do think it's important. I do think it's something that if an SO or an AC goes to the effort to take a organizational position on something which they draft and they vote upon and they send to the working group, that they deserve the respect of a response. You know, and what more can I say? I'm in a minority again. Oh, well. Thanks.
Okay, well, I mean, I can't say you're in a minority yet. We haven't heard from anyone from the commercial groups since they're not on the call, so it's kind of hard to judge minority versus non-minority when that happens. But at least from the people on this call, it sounds like most do not favor the special treatment. So,
two stakeholder groups to one.
Right. So that's right. Most may not be the right word. The majority. So why don't we, Marika, why don't we put Aubrey's language on email and send it out and see if we can solicit some sort of response from the commercial stakeholder group?
Okay.
And then we could better, then at least I could as chair better assess how others feel and whether Aubrey's view is a minority or there's just, you know, the other levels. Okay, so then there's the public comment period after initiation of a PDP. PDP work team recommends modifying clause 6. Public notification of initiation of PDP to reflect current practice whereby a public comment period is initiated once a working group has been formed, not when the PDP is initiated, to allow the working group to put out specific issues for public comment that might help inform its deliberations. The PDP work team recommends that this public comment period is optional and may be used by a working group at the start of their deliberations to obtain public input on the charter questions or other specific issues related to the charter. And Aubrey's question, which is a good one because the language isn't very clear, is having the comment period optional or is the timing optional? So maybe I can have Marika, when we drew up the language, it was that you had to have it, but just when you were having it was the optional one. Is that correct, or Marika, did I misstate that?
No, I think you misstated that. What my understanding was is we had agreement to have a required public comment period on the issue report, that this public comment period would actually become an optional one for the working group if they would, you know, want to ask some specific questions at the start, because the assumption would be that any issues on the issue report, which is normally what we put out as well for at the start of a working group, like these are the issues that the working group is going to deal with, would have already been addressed. So as I understood at the time of the discussion, the work team felt that this public comment period, which at the moment is a requirement, should become an optional one for the working group to decide whether they want to have one or not.
Okay, James?
Yeah, Jeff, this is James. Thank you. And Marika is absolutely correct. We were talking about changing this required comment period to an optional one, because if you look at the issues report coming through and then the interim report, which one would, I think, hope would be not too far down the road after the initiation of a PDP working group. It just seemed like a lot of required comment periods in what could be a short period of time, and that the working group wouldn't really have anything to report necessarily for comment. It would only be asking for clarification and definitional work from the public. So, I think Marika summarized it perfectly, is that we want to take something that's required and make it optional. You know, it's possible, but leave it up to the discretion of the working group.
Yeah, thank you for correcting me. I was confused and a little tired, but you are correct that this is the one that's after, that there's already been a public comment period. So it is optional. And so since the so it's both optional as to it happening and the timing. Okay.
Well, Jeff, that raises a good question. I mean, should the working group choose to exercise this, I assume we're leaving the timing open to them as well, or do they have some guidelines they need to follow?
Well, yeah, I think we leave it optional as far as when and what, because if you look at the last sentence, it's basically to obtain, you know, they may come up with charter questions or other specific issues related to the charter. So it's kind of, you know, whenever they're in a position to do that. We can't say that that's going to be day one, day 30, day 45. You know, we just can't predict that with any kind of certainty. So I think timing is pretty much up to them. And you know what? We also say later on in the report, I believe, or at least we've talked about it, that they could do a public comment period in theory whenever they want. If they want to submit survey questions or specific questions, they can always do that. It's totally their discretion. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. The only thing that I think we have required is that any public comment period that is not on the preliminary issues report or the initial report should be for a minimum of 21 days. I think that's the only thing that we've required otherwise. If they decide to have a public comment period on indeed whatever they feel is appropriate in relation to the charter, they can do so as long as they do it for a minimum of 21 days.
Right, that's correct. Okay, any other questions on that?
This is Marika. Just one question. I mean, if indeed that wasn't clear from the recommendation that indeed it is optional and the timing is optional as well, are there any suggestions for improving it if it wasn't clear from how the recommendation is currently written? And people can think about it. They don't need to do it on the call, but if there are any suggestions on how it might be clarified, that might be helpful.
So you mean starting from the PDP working recommends? Or the entire explanation there?
Well, I assume from Avery's comment that it wasn't clear, so I don't know exactly where the confusion has come from. So I'm just asking if indeed it's not clear, if there are any suggestions on how we can make that clear so other people don't ask the same question. And I guess the question might be for Avery where that confusion came from, so then we might be able as well to identify how to improve the language.
Well, I think part of the confusion may be the fact that we restate the current rule. So I don't think you need to restate the whole. So you could say the PDP working recommends modifying Clause 6 to reflect. I think it's that first part that's kind of confusing because you restate the current practice. I think if you just said the PDP, I mean, you could just come out and say it that the PDP work team recommends that any comment period held after the initiation of a PDP is at a working group's discretion. I mean, I think you could kind of just word it that way. Is at a working group's discretion and may be used to obtain public input on the charter questions or other specific issues related to the charter. I think you could kind of, without restating the current practice.
Okay.
Might clear things up. Avery?
Yeah, I have trouble because I cannot read this thing when I've also got the hand-raising capability up. But I think that if it was just changed to say, you know, perhaps to put a little bit of the explanation in that since an early one will have already been held, et cetera, recommends that any further public comment periods be optional and may be used by the working group, et cetera. And that way, it's talking about what confused me was public comment period is optional. So that's when I was saying, well, is it the comment itself that's saying, or is that the period when it is held at the beginning what was optional? That's where that ambiguity came in. But I think if we said something like recommends that any further public comments be optional, you know, et cetera, depending, and perhaps that would work. And perhaps if there was a sentence explaining why this is changing because of recommendation number X, where, you know, a public comment has already been done, you know, et cetera. that help or is that hinder?
Marika, I'll ask you.
Yeah, that helps. I think I have enough to rewrite this. And then you can, of course, correct me if I got it wrong.
Okay, so now we're on kind of a thorny issue here about the in-scope discussion. Clarification of in-scope of ICANN policy process of the GNSL. Remember, that's in the bylaws. The PDP work team recommends modifying Clause 3, initiation of a PDP, to clarify that within scope means within scope of ICANN's mission, and more specifically, the role of the GNSL as opposed to within scope of contracted parties' definition of consensus policies. Furthermore, the PDP work team recommends that issues raised should be mappable against specific provisions in the ICANN bylaws or the affirmation of commitments. And so we've got a slew of comments on those. The first one is from James and Paul. So let's go to that one first. And they think we have it backwards. Although I did have a conversation separately with Paul. So Paul, do you want to?
Yeah. Your explanation helped, and I want to rescind or take away my comments. Let's keep it the way you have it here now.
Okay. That's good. So, Aubrey, do you still have a comment on that?
I'm trying to understand. So, and as you want to keep within the scope of contracted parties' definition of consensus policies as opposed, or you're not adding that? I'm confused.
I think they're, if I could just jump in, they're withdrawing their comment and keeping it the way the work team recommends.
So when I was keeping the within the scope of contracted parties definition?
No. The way that the work team recommendation says, what I read at the beginning, PDP work team recommends modifying Clause 3, initiation of a PDP, to clarify that within scope means within scope of ICANN's mission and more specifically the role of GNSO as opposed to within scope of contracted parties definition. They're okay
with
that.
So just the short stuff that's in black is all that would stay there.
Right in the left column.
I'm sorry, I'm being slow this morning. Withdrawing the comments means that only the black stuff would stay, or are we still talking about furthermore?
You're looking at the draft document as opposed to the issues list?
Yeah.
You look at the issues list, page 12.
Oh, okay. I was most concerned on what the recommendation said. Let me see if I can find the right thing on the issues list.
The issue list, it's on page 23 at the top.
Okay.
Starts already before, but the language that would stay is on the left-hand side of that document at the top.
Okay, sorry.
Page 23.
23, I can't even see page numbers on this.
At the bottom of the pod, you'll see which page. You can directly go there by typing in the number.
Oh, there it is. I see it now that I did full screen on that. It's just all those screens, I can't see it anymore. I know, an old age moment. Okay, page 23. Next flip. Oh, this is where I mentioned Republicans.
Yeah, well, we haven't gotten to that comment yet.
Yes. Okay, I still can't see it.
Left column.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Oh, no, that's right column. God, it's the other left. Sorry, folks, I'm just having trouble here. Now it's too big for my screen.
It's basically the original one, the original version.
Is it page 23 or page 24?
Oh, you're actually right. It's page 24. It starts on page 23 at the bottom, and then it's at the top of page 24. Sorry about that.
Right, and just to go with the background, so James and I and Paul had a discussion, and the rationale is that we've already said the outcome of the PDP can be best practices, it could be instructions to staff, it could be a whole host of things. and therefore to limit it to only what's in the contracted parties basically would eliminate a lot of the outcomes that we all agreed could be potential outcomes. Much more in-depth discussion than that, but that's kind of crux of the discussion I had with Paul and with James. So I'm gonna move forward, Avery.
So within scope means within scope of ICANN's mission and more specifically the role of the GNSO, period. That is what we're recommending in scope means.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
And then we recommended, which goes to your next comment, that issues raised should be mappable against specific provisions in the ICANN bylaws or the affirmation of commitments, skipping your Republican comment. So we are saying that every PDP needs to quote which of the bylaws or AOC paragraphs it is based on. That's your question. Let me throw that out to the group. Does it sound like that recommendation is saying that we need to quote somewhere in the bylaw? Or the AOC? James, comment in the chat.
Sorry, I have to decrease my full screen to do that.
All right.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't mean to be mean.
All right. Let's not. There's nothing wrong with being a Republican. I'm not saying I am. I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with that.
Jeff.
So I don't think we were saying that every recommendation needs to be specifically mapped, you know, like every recommendation has to have a citation to a specific bylaw or affirmation of commitment. I think it's in general that if someone were to question that, you know, the working group or the recommendation should in some way map in the very loose sense to bylaws, you know, they shouldn't. Well, let me go to James and then to, well, Aubrey, I'm sorry, your hand is up.
Yeah, I don't think that sentence should be there. If it is there, I think we should add articles incorporation also. And I think if we're going to do it, then you actually have to tell people they have to state it. To basically have some loose thing that says that I think is problematic. I have no problem with making that a requirement and making it a hard requirement that you state it. I think people can do it. And I also think, you know, just as an aside, having everybody starting every year at the GNSO with people reading the bylaws and the articles, I mean, and the affirmation of commitment might be a good way to start each new year in the GNSO Council. So I think that's a good idea. Thank you.
Okay, James?
Yeah, Jeff, thanks. James speaking. And I think, you know, where we were going with this was just making sure, especially that the bylaws and the AOC support what was going on with the PDP, but also making sure that the PDP doesn't suddenly start to run counter to what's in the bylaws or the AOC. I think Paul and I were in a working group post a while back, maybe even over a year ago, where we had an individual that was, really upset about, I don't know, spam or something. I don't even remember the exact issue. And I think that, you know, there's an example of there's bad things on the Internet that is not necessarily ICANN's place to solve everything, and we need to make sure that we're defining where it is that we're getting the authority to jump in on some of these issues. I think that's what the sentiment we're trying to capture in this was. Without getting into the name calling, want to be drawing any parallels, I guess, to any political processes. I think that it just makes sense to say, because ICANN's bylaws say X, we should pursue issue Y. and making sure that things don't stray too far from that course.
Okay. Aubrey, new hand
up? Basically, as I want to really say quite seriously, I think this is a fine idea. As I say, I would include articles and corporation also, since they do govern us. And the only point I'm making is that if we're going to do this, it really should be a requirement that each, PDP be required to have that paragraph in there, that be a required paragraph. I think the requirement doesn't make sense to me without it being actually something that needs to be done. I think it's a great idea to do it, which, as an independent, I go to either side. It really doesn't matter to me. So I think it's a great idea to actually include it, though I would augment it with articles of incorporation.
Okay, now it seems like that's a little bit of overkill, but you're okay with that, James?
Yeah, if we're going to do it, we should be thorough and comprehensive, and
Okay. it seems like that's that'll be a very long recommendation. One could argue that if something's within the scope of its bylaws, it's also within the scope of the articles. James, you have a comment?
Well, I guess it doesn't have to be. If there's simply an introductory part of a paragraph in the issues report, are we requiring this in the issues report or in the charter or someplace where it says essentially, we're doing this on the basis of securing stability and promoting competition and consumer trust. It doesn't have to be. It can even be just a sentence, I think. At least, I don't know, maybe I'm misunderstanding the recommendation, but it seems as though it can be just a brief contextual introduction of where the PDP, why it's appropriate for ICANN and the GNSO to take it on. So, that's it.
So I see an agreement and I see a disagreement. Is either one that wants to agree? Margie and Marika want to have a comment, and then I'll poll some others. Margie?
Sure. I have a question. Did you say articles as in articles of incorporation? Because, that tends not to be a document that we regularly deal with. That's usually a corporate, very formal document that doesn't have anything to do with what the council does, and so I was just curious to try to understand the reasoning behind that.
Yeah, that is what they said. So, Aubrey?
Yeah, you're right. There's not much in there. There's things in there like, the requirement to be, a corporation in the public service and things like that. So there are some statements of overall umbrella requirements that sometimes may or may not be applicable to a PDP, and they define us as an entity, and therefore, I think just in doing a complete description of who we are and what we work on, they are part of the possible inclusion. Thanks.
Okay, Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm just wondering if it would be appropriate to make that requirement as part of the request for the issue, report, because I'm not really sure whether staff should be in a position to try to map it. In my view, it would be more appropriate for the person who's requesting it to say, well, this is why I believe this is relevant for the GNSO, and this is where, you can find the relevant language of how it maps to, what is within ICANN's scope. So I was just wondering if it would be more appropriate to actually require it as part of, I think we've been talking about having a template that people would need to fill in, or I don't think we're going to require it, but strongly encourage people to fill in the template, and one of the categories there could be, please identify how this relates to, requirements under the AUC or ICANN bylaws.
That sounds like a good solution. And Aubrey agrees with that. Does James... Okay. Seems like there's general agreement with that, and it seems like it would address the concerns. Okay. We good to move on then? Recommendation number 25 is pretty substantial. So I'm not sure where, because we said we'd limit the call to an hour. How many recommendations? We have about, we've got 3 pages today. Is that all we got? All right, we need to do better on Monday, so I'm going to try to move us along a little bit on Monday. Marika, if we are going to meet the timeline again, the document needs to be posted by
what 21st of February.
21st, which means that we should at least have a week before that to review style, grammar, all that kind of stuff. So now we're talking about the 14th, which is next week. Is that right, next week? Or pretty soon?
11 days.
Yeah, okay, so it's a week from Monday.
It would have 3 meetings left.
Right, but realistically, I think 2. Because it would be great to get it out. I don't want to spend Monday on substantive stuff and then have you have to turn it around, the paper, so quickly. It may be, you know, 2, but maybe 3 meetings. So we need to make some good progress. I think we are, but we just need to do it a little better next time on Monday and then on Thursday. So we're still having the Monday call. And I may, let's plan on Monday using the full hour and a half. I know we've allotted it. I know we've had a practice, but let's Monday use the full hour and a half and then decide on Monday whether we need the full hour and a half on Thursday or whether we just need an hour. We got to get this done and out, and I want us to have a week to review things like grammar and make sure we're comfortable so that we could publish it by the 21st. That sound like a plan? Great. All right. Thanks, guys, and I will talk to you on, today's Thursday. I'll talk to you on Monday. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, Jeff. Take a nap.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks. Bye.